Exodus chapter 13. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the good Sunday school. And man, I tell you, the Lord blesses us around here just with the Word of God. I thank God for that. We know that leading up to this point in Exodus chapter number 13, that leading up to this point, the children of Israel have been in bondage to Egypt. It's amazing that nobody ever cries much about the 400 years that God's people was in slavery, but yet we owe every other race in the world that ever had to serve somebody. Isn't that amazing? The Jews were slaves too for 400 years at this period. God put Joseph down in Egypt. If you read it, God, Jacob had his 12 sons, which represent or are the 12 tribes of Israel. And boy, he just really loved Jacob. He really loved Joseph. And he loved him to the point to where his other brothers even got jealous over it. And his brothers, they were going to kill him, and they were encouraged not to, and they ended up putting him in a pit, selling him, and they took his coat that his daddy had made him, that coat of many colors that we've heard so much about, and they killed an animal, and they smeared it in the animal's blood, and they carried the coat back to their daddy and said that Joseph had been killed by some wild beast. And boy, Jacob lamented over that, and he grieved over that, and he was sore displeased. But the Bible says that he was sold into slavery. And Joseph ended up down in the land of Egypt, and God allowed every bit of this stuff so that during the famine, during the hard times that was going to come in the world, God was going to make provision through Joseph in Egypt to help the children of Israel. And that he did. If you remember reading the story, his brothers would come down during the famine that was in the land, and they would buy corn, and Joseph knew who they was, but they didn't know who he was. And he would fill their bags full of corn and send them on their way, and he would put their money back in their bags, and they got down there and got scared with, oh no, something's wrong. And man, come to find out, it was just God blessing. And come down to the point to where they told Jacob what all was going on. And Jacob loaded up, and all the children of Israel at that time, which were, watch this, 70 people. 70 people loaded up and headed out and went into Egypt. And we know by reading the story or reading the Bible that the 70 went in, but as they went in there and the years passed, God blessed the Israelites, and they did as God commanded. They were fruitful, and they multiplied by the millions. And so we've come up to Exodus chapter 13, and when Israel found themselves, ladies and gentlemen, over here in slavery, they found themselves in a bad, bad way. I mean, they went in under Pharaoh, and you have to remember that Joseph was the governor of the land. Outside of Pharaoh, there was not another person in all of Egypt that had more power, more say-so, more authority than Joseph. And that Pharaoh loved Joseph. You remember the story how Joseph was in prison and Pharaoh had his dream, and none of his soothsayers, none of his magicians, none of his fortune tellers, none of his palm readers, none of them could tell him what the dream meant. And there was a fellow down there in prison with him, with Joseph, after he was falsely accused of rape. And he told Pharaoh, he said, man, there's one down there. They can interpret dreams. He interpreted one for me, and so Pharaoh brought him up. Yeah, and I told you the other day, one of the first things that Joseph did, and I really like this fact, one of the first things that Joseph did when he was getting out of prison and going to go see the king, he cleaned up.
The Bible said that he shaved. Amen.
That's right. I believe we're to be clean. I believe that. And I believe you ought to clean up every once in a while. Ain't nothing like it. Hallelujah. I was in the shower this morning enjoying just being clean. That's right. And but anyhow, there he was being blessed. And that Pharaoh really loved Joseph. But the years went by and that Pharaoh died. And the Bible says there was a new Pharaoh arose in the land. And Joseph had died. And the new Pharaoh knew not Joseph and knew not what all was in their past. And he began to look over there in that little old city that God had given them Israelites on the outskirts of Egypt. And he said, you know what, boys? He said, if we ever do have a war around here, he said, them Israelites has done multiplied to the point that if they wanted to, they could join up with the enemy. And there's no way that we could outnumber them. There's no way we could conquer them. Here's what we better do. We better come down on them and become taskmasters. We better enslave them and make them slaves to us so that they'll serve us. That's right. We know this, that Egypt is a place of sin. Egypt is a place of sin. Israel found themselves in such a mess, they began to cry out to God for deliverance. And church, let me say, what a good day it was, or what a good day it is, the day that you see your condition, the condition that you're in without God. It's a good day when you can see where you're at without Him. It's the start of a beautiful thing. I like John 5, 46 and 47 and all that it involves. It's a beautiful thing today. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a hard, hard thought to share, but it's a beautiful thing the day that you realize that you do hate God. I was raised in a Baptist home, went to a Baptist church, had Baptist mamas and daddies, heard some of the best preaching under the sun in my lifetime. I mean, man, in my age, some of the best preachers that walked on planet Earth. I got to raise up underneath. Zach, you know what was a good day in my life? When I came to the realization that I hated God and everything about Him. Friend, I was His enemy. I wasn't a part-time enemy. I didn't kind of lukewarmly like Him. I despised God and the things of God. It's a good day when God shows you where you stand with Him. You say, man, I don't believe that. That's because you're blind and you cannot see. But if God removes the scales from your eyes, a happy day it'll be that you see yourself standing before God, vile and wretched and a transgressor of all of His laws. It'll be a happy day because that'll put you on the trail of a good thing. Sure, you seek after God. And God will help you with that. And let you see that. These people seen the children of Israel. Do you not understand the typology? And I hate to sometimes use that terminology, but Steve, they were doing well down there in Egypt. And all of a sudden they saw themselves slaves to a land of sin. Egypt is a picture. Egypt is a type of sin. Egypt represents sin in our Bible. It's a picture of the world. Egypt is. And here the God's people, when I say Israel, God's people was in a world of sin. And boy, what a day it was when God opened their eyes and they began to cry out, oh, God, have mercy on us. Huh? That's what I'm saying. God, have mercy on us. God, help us out of here. God, they're killing our babies. You understand, man? They were just cruelly working them people. They were taking away their tools and making them do labor with their hands. They was making them get up the materials, mix the materials, labor with the materials. Everything they made as hard as humanly possible. And then their wives would have a baby and those Egyptians would run over there to their house, snatch the baby out of the house, take it over to a rock and beat their baby to death on a rock somewhere. It's amazing. More of them Israelite mothers, they've been people of God. Man, they didn't have any say, so they didn't have any power. They were enslaved to this crowd. They began to cry out, oh God, have mercy on us. Oh God, would you deliver us from this cruel land? Be a good day when we get to that place. God, help us out of this mess. Egypt being a type or a place of sin, a type of the world. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, it's a beautiful picture of God delivering man from sin. Now, God woke me up early this morning, and I believe I just sit there and meditated and had some thoughts on my heart, Rick. I got an outline that the Lord had, I believe, given me to preach and let me study and just glean from His Word. But He woke me up this morning, Zach, with some fresh things on my mind. Listen, church, all of our life we've heard how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And that's a type of salvation. Listen to me, I'm not preaching that as a type of salvation. I'm not preaching them being delivered out of there as a type of salvation. I want to rightly divide what God did with the children of Israel. Zach, I've never in my life, and this is my point, I've never in my life seen God deliver a man from sin and save him and set him free. And that man go back and say, I wish to God I'd have never got saved. I wish to God I'd have never got hooked up with Jesus. Only thing I've ever heard people say, I wish that I'd have done it years sooner. I wish I hadn't wasted all that time. Here's what I will say, Michael. I do believe that people repent before they get saved. I believe people start getting out of things before they get saved. I believe God starts putting stuff on people's hearts. That's right. And I believe God starts removing things out of our lives. And little by little, God starts. And He may not remove it all, but ladies and gentlemen, I believe in a process to salvation. And I believe God will start putting His finger on things in your life. And you better hear me. I don't care how big it may seem or how minute it may be. If God puts His finger on it, you'll never get saved. You'll never get to the next place for God. You'll never get drawn another day until you deal with it. Area that God has put His finger on. That's the spot. Now, what God puts His finger on in your life can be completely and entirely different from what God puts His finger on in my life. There's some people that can do some things up to the time they get saved. But there's been things, Zach, that God put His finger on in my life that I had to get rid of 2 and 3 years before He ever saved me.
God just began to deal with me and convict me. And I didn't even know what all was going on. I just know God was bothering me about it. It wasn't the devil. The devil wanted me to party on, man. But God began to deal with them. That's right. They say going across that Red Sea, Amber, is a picture of salvation. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's God just bringing him through some things. God can set us free. God can start delivering us. God can start getting us out of sin. And I'm telling you, man, it seems like an ocean out there. I can't cross this ocean. I can't quit this, God. It's got me hooked. I'm telling you what God will do to that sin. He'll split the Red Sea and let you get through that thing. Sure He will. God will make a way. God will make a way. There's no temptation taking you but such as common man. God will make a way. That's right, friend. The Bible says this. The way of the transgressor is hard. Huh? You know what I found out, Steve? The longer a person lives in sin, the harder it is on them. The Bible teaches us that there's pleasure in sin for a season. Man, anybody can pick up a bottle and start drinking it, have them a good time. And yes, sir, have a good time for a while. But I tell you, when that poison gets in that bloodstream, friend, and you start waking up in the morning and your body starts demanding that drink, and your body starts demanding that chemical, the fun begins to slip out the back door. I'm telling you, Miss Stephanie, it's never been fun to have to lie, steal, cheat, and cuss to get your way through this whole world. I'm telling you that, man, people start out on top. It seems to be fun. They're having a big time. But before you know it, they're climbing through the cesspool of this whole life, having to lie and steal and cheat to get a hold of their sin. It's not fun. Runs out. The pleasure runs out. You're talking, you're listening to an old boy that's had my fair share. I know what pleasure and sin is. And I know what the filthiness and nastiness, I know what the dredge, I know what the backside of it is. I know the ugliness, the horribleness, I know the hate of the sin. I know the misery of it. longer a man lives in sin, the more he realizes how hard life, the life of sin is. I can promise you that. These old boys get hooked up on stuff, man. I'm telling you. You let one of them get a little age on him, he'll sit there and tell you a thing or two about how hard it is. Right? Tell you. You can testify that stuff.
I can testify.
Right. That's right. It seems like you're living in pleasure. Man, my heart breaks, church, because I've got friends. I've got people that I love. I've got people that I've dearly loved. Man, you catch them while they're on that high, and I mean, son, they're having the time of their life. But I've caught them on their low. I knew them, Miss Holly, when the high wasn't there, and I seen the struggles in their life, and I seen the hardships in their life, and I seen the turmoil in their family, and I've seen the pain in their children, and I've said, watch that stuff, and I listen to them talk, and they have no real peace, and there is no joy, and man, I'm telling you, the deeper they go, the more miserable they become. In church, I'm telling you, there's no pleasure, no pleasure, no lasting pleasure in the life of sin. You know what I've noticed about sin? It wants to take away, Steve, every good thing that we look at in life. Sure. Man, I'm telling you, Kaylee Mae, as young girls, little girls kind of grow up, and man, they want to tote them Barbie dolls, you know? I mean, they want to get them some, and for God's sakes, don't get a Barbie doll, get one with some clothes on. Mamas and daddies, get some clothes on your stinking Barbie dolls. Don't teach your little girls how to train their children to run around butt naked. Nobody wants to see the crotch of Barbie. For God's sakes, teach them something. They want to tote Barbie doll around. Baby doll, let me say that. Miss Stephanie, then years pass, they start getting their eyes on some of the little boy, and I mean, man, the sparks begin to fly, and he becomes the apple of her eye, and church, all that seems fine and dandy. We've got these goals, and we've got these dreams, we've got these ambitions, we've got these hopes. Man, I'm telling you, the man of our dreams, you know what I've seen time and time again say? I've seen people get everything that they've ever wanted in life. I've seen them slip off into sin, Miss Debbie. I've seen them know it's Michael in sin, and I've seen it ruin the relationship with her children, and I've seen it ruin the relationship with her spouse, and everything good that they once dreamed for, and every hope that they ever had. I've seen sin come into the homes and destroy them lives and dreams. I've seen it destroy the relationships. I've seen it demolish people. Sin will take away everything that's precious to you. Sure it will. You don't think it will? That's what these children of Israel was going through. What mama with a right mind in her head. Listen, I was down there in Florida. The Lord brought this up. I was down there in Florida, Rick. And it's when crack cocaine was just a little bit, you know, heard of. I was in about the 11th grade and I heard about Lenny Bikes. First time I ever heard of it. Not long after that, I moved off down there in Florida, Miss Debbie, and you can remember some of these stories where they would find kids. They found a kid chained to a chain-link fence on the side of the interstate where the mama had chained that kid there and said, I'll be back, and she went and made her dope run, Eric, and got high and forgot all about her kid. And 3 days later, the cop showed up and seen his kid chained to a fence down on I-295, and church, I've heard story after story. You can go right up down the streets of Houston, Texas, and watch a mom and a daddy hooked on sin, son, pull up in their car and open the door and watch some pimp come up with a dog leash and put it on the throat of that little child and walk that kid off to make child pornography. Why? Because the sin that mom and dad has slipped off in. I'm talking about the preciousness of that little baby. I mean, what a goal, what a dream. Ever since that girl was a little bitty thing, she's had a desire to love a baby. And now sin has crept in, and sin just took that baby from her. How many times you see it, church, so sad. what sin does. And here the children of Israel was, and that precious mother over there has toiled and labored and went through the travail, Zach, after 9 months of bearing this precious little child. And here comes someone from the world, somebody that represents sin in your Bible, and they snatch that baby out of that mother's hands. You know why children of Israel, you know why the children of Israel was in bondage to start with. You know why they were even enslaved, because they disobeyed the voice of God. God didn't just turn his back on them. He didn't just let them go away. Friend, they rebelled against the word of God. They said, we'll not listen to the preacher. We'll not listen to the word of God. We'll not have this man to rule over us. And God said, that's fine. You'll suffer the consequences of your rebellion. Zach was teaching a while ago, and Zach couldn't help but to think, if you think God's going to play around with me and you, you're a blooming fool, friend. Do you hear me? I said, you're a blooming fool if you think God is going to tolerate any junk out of me and you. His only begotten Son hung on the cross. God himself cursed his own Son because he was made sin for us. God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son and said, I cannot help my own Son because he's being made sin. Ever sin known? Listen, Zach mentioned all them sins a while ago. He went down the line of sins that most of our fundamental independent Baptist preachers preach on today. All they do is harp. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Most of the little surface sins that we harp on so much, that ain't even the real problem. There's a rebellion problem. There's a problem down in our heart. And most of these things that we can see on the surface is simply the result of our condition, our relationship with God Almighty. Right? It's a result. It's the fruit of our real sin, of our true sin that's buried deep within the heart of man. And I tell you, we don't even know what it is, our own self. Zach, I don't even know what it is myself, lest God shine the light in my heart. How does God do that? He does that through the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. That's right. It'll light you up, friend. So, sin will scar you, won't it? You know what I've noticed? You can get saved, and you can get just as saved as God. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you lived a previous life of sin, I don't care how saved you got, you're going to tote some of that junk with you till you die. There's some things that you're going to obtain and acquire in that life out in Egypt, that no matter what you do, friend, it's going to scar you for life. And you're going to have to go the rest of your life bearing in your body those marks, those regrets, those scars of sin. I've seen people go off, live in sin, and get diseased. That's right. And I've seen them get gloriously saved. I hope, according to their testimony, they got saved. Died with that disease in their blood. Scars. God help us to see the seriousness. But we can see here in Exodus chapter 13, they've already come through. I ain't got through my text. They've already come through the plagues. You remember all the plagues? Moses, God told Moses, and Moses, you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses would go in there, and God said, ho, before you go in there, Moses, I'm going to let you know something. I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to let my people go. But go on in there and tell them anyway. And so Moses would go in there and say, God said, let my people go. And God would harden the heart of, you know who Pharaoh is? He's a perfect picture of Satan. That's who he represents. That's who he represents. He represents the devil himself in our life. Satan. You say, how so, preacher? He hated God, didn't he? Sure he did. He hated the things of God. He hated the people of God. He hated the words of God. He hated everything about God. That's what Pharaoh did. He hated it. You say, man, that ain't the devil. It ain't. He's created the destroy the waster to waste. He created the devil to do what the devil does. Sure it is. Pharaoh. You know that every time God began to draw me as a sinner, Steve, the devil did the same thing that Pharaoh did to the children of Israel.
Every time God began to do a work in my life, the devil would go,
"You got plenty of time." Every time
God wanted to bring his children out, Pharaoh would say,
"No, we're not going to." He would put roadblocks up.
God began to do works in my life, and the devil would come along and put up roadblocks. Man, you get through one, and here comes another one. You get through another one, and there comes another. It just never ends. The devil never stops putting up those roadblocks, telling them lies. Every time God spoke, so did the devil. I'm not here to brag on him. I don't like, God forbid that I brag on him. Don't take it like that. Just trying to tell you the facts. You wouldn't believe the times he told me that I was all right. You're all right. He would tell me stuff like, "It ain't real." And he could prove to me that God's stuff wasn't real. You know how he would prove it? The best way in the world? He would always set some church people in front of me. Rick, went to church about 3 times a week, never missed a Sunday school, and then go home and live like hell. Yeah, man, you look up there and you see the old folks, and they're raising their hand, and they're deacons, and they're praying, and they're ushering, and they're Sunday school teachers, and they live like hell down there at the house, and the children can see it. They hear the cuss words. They hear the filthy talk. They see the disrespect toward the spouses. And I'm telling you, Miss Tebby, the devil will always set them in front of me and say, "See, it ain't even real." Be honest with you, one of the saddest things I've ever had to do was agree with him in his cases most of the time. There, he'd say, "Yeah, they don't have the real thing. They may not have the real thing, but I'm glad, thank God, that God showed me something real." You hear me? And it ain't always in a man, ladies and gentlemen, but you'll find that, bless God, walking across the pages of that blessed eternal book right there, he's real, friend. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is real. Hey, man, he's the most real thing that Stanley I've ever experienced. He's the most real person I've ever walked with. He's the most real person I've ever fellowshiped with. He's the most real person I've ever sat down with. So glad that I could get up this morning, Steve, and go sit in my living room and maybe I'll be able to sit with this Jesus, a little lamb that lives on the inside of me. Be able to sit down with him and fellowship with him and thank God, listen and glean from his word. The devil would always show me people. There was a bunch of hypocrites to try to prove his point. Church, you better hear me. You better hear me well. The most important you ever do in this life, most important thing you ever do in this life will not be getting a college degree. It's amazing how much an emphasis, and I'm all for education, but we've put all the emphasis in the world on education. You can be an Einstein and die and go to hell. The most important thing ain't how much money you make. The most important thing, for God's sake, ain't what kind of vehicles you drive. It's not what kind of house you live in. Jesus Christ had not even a place to lay his head. He was the Son of God. I tell you, the most important thing that you'll ever do in this life is make sure your relationship with God's Son is what it ought to be. Right? It's the most important thing. Most important thing. You know what's easy to do, Miss Amber? It's easy for us to sit down in our little religious society, in our little piety, our own little dignity, and our own little goodness. And it's easy for us to read. If we're not real careful, Eric, we can start reading that Bible. We can get over there in that Pentateuch, friend, and start reading them books of Moses. And if you're not real careful, you can read over through the book of Psalms, and you can get real critical of the children of Israel. How they turned their backs on God. How they despised God. How they rebelled against God. How they rejected His word. You know what? We're just exactly the same. You know how many times I've rebelled against God? You know how many times I've rejected His word? You know how many times I've despised His correction? You know, because I was a fool, friend. I was a fool. Most important thing you'll ever do in this life, just make sure your relationship with God's Son is what it ought to be. Chapter 12 tells us about the death. Angel passing by. And boy, what a day that was, huh? I mean, God told Moses, he said, I want you to tell the children of Israel to go down there to their house, and I want them to kill a lamb, each man for his house. Unless his house is too small, I want you to get him to partner up with his neighbor, and I want them to share that lamb. But I want them to kill that lamb, and I want them to cook that lamb. And God said, Moses, you tell them to take the blood of that lamb, and they apply it to the doorpost and to the lintel of their house. And at midnight, that death angel is going to pass by, and everybody that doesn't have the blood applied to the doorpost and lintel, I'm going to take the firstborn and even their cattle. What about that? He's going to get their firstborn cow too, and their sheep, their chicken, their dog. How about that? Them beasts was going to get God. Thank God this did there, Mama. And Moses gave out that word. Listen, church. Moses gave out that word. And the children of Israel, all of them went and done as God said. And man, they was looking for help. They was looking for deliverance. It's amazing how obedient we get when we get in that jam, ain't it? But can you imagine, church, and I've talked about it before, and I'll spare you time. Could you imagine being down there in Egypt that night? All those precious mothers giving birth to them little babies. Could you imagine there being an Egyptian? Because there's some people out in the world that still does love their children. Even some lost people love their children. Sure they do. Lost people love their kids. I've seen some good lost parents. Done good jobs at raising their kids. Just missed out on God. Most important thing. But there, nonetheless, them Egyptian mothers, I would imagine, and having a 3-4-year-old boy sitting over there and just loving him to death. That death angel passed through Egypt, church, and every firstborn died. The Bible talks about how the Israelites could hear the screams of those mothers going throughout the land of Egypt. I can only imagine
as his mothers went to the cribs and they went to them rooms, and boy, they started running out the street going, my baby! My baby! My baby! And another would run to the room and, oh God, my baby! What's happening? And all the firstborn throughout all that land, the death angel took. You say, what is that? Friend, that's the judgment of God Almighty. We got God throwing up as some little sissy-fied, pissy, lovey-dovey, everything goes, I'll forgive him. Listen, friend, God's judgment is swift. Pass through there. God could kill every one of us. Probably should. He would be just as holy, Eric, if he jerked my salvation plumb out of my heart and said, you idiots are going to hell anyway. God would still be just. He would still be holy. He would still be God. He would still be worthy of all of our praise and our glory.
I don't like to say it. I'm not going to. Chapter 12 tells us about the death angel passing through. And all those that didn't have the blood on the doorpost and the lintel suffered loss. Is that not what's going to happen? Everybody don't have the blood of Jesus Christ applied is going to suffer. You're going to die and go to hell. That's what's going to happen. We know that the Passover was set up for them. They were to have a feast for 7 days. 7 days they were to eat unleavened bread. He told them to do this every year from then on. And they're still doing it. When they had this feast and ate of the Passover, God told them that their sons would ask them for generations to come. What's this about? Read your Bible. What's in there? Boy, they're sitting down there. They done killed that little old lamb. And they're sitting at the table. And that boy's done seen daddy walk over there and take that hyssop and throw that blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And he said, Daddy, what you doing there for? He said, Son, just a remembrance of what God has brought us from. This is going to be a perpetual memory, son, for what God has brought us from. God delivered us out of the hand of the enemy. God has brought us and delivered us from all of our sins. Listen, son, this is to remember what great things God has done for his people. Well, what a great day it is. You hear me every day. Just take time. I think Zach was talking about some thankfulness this morning. We're to take time on a regular basis to be thankful. Or take time on a regular basis to say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You can say what you will, but I believe I deserve to die and go to hell, church.
I deserve to die and be in the worst place in hell, Mr. Tebney. I deserve that. Thank God a lamb died so I didn't have to. If you look in your Bible, church, even in this context over here in the book of Exodus, you'll see all through your Bible that donkeys are a type of rebellion. Rebellion. And he was telling them that if you've got one of these wild asses, what you need to do is you need to kill a lamb to redeem that ass. And if you don't do that, God said this, if you don't do that, what you need to do is you need to go over there and break the neck of that ass. Then it might be redeemed. That's pretty harsh, ain't it? Now, if you read through the book of Job, here's what it said, and I really, really like it. Job said that all we was a bunch of wild ass colts. Huh? Son, I'm talking about up on that hill, just living life the way we want to. Every man doing that which was right in his own eyes, living right, just having a big time. And I mean just a bunch of wild asses colts. And here's what the Bible said. If that wild ass colt is going to be redeemed, then a lamb is going to have to die. Thank God it did, Eric. Thank God it did. The Lamb of God died for us. Sir, right. I have to break my neck, friend. The Lamb of God died for me. God wanted those parents of that generation to tell their children what great things God had done. That means we ought to, as Christians, live in such a way that others can see what great things God has done in our life. Is that so? That way, when God begins to deal with an individual, the devil can't come over at your house and go, "Hey, look, check out how they live." Huh? Hey, when God begins to deal with that sinner, he can't take them down on the job and point at you and go, "Yeah, he just went to church yesterday. They had him a big time dinner, and look at him over there telling that dirty joke." We're to live in such a way, church. And I'm not preaching down to you. Let me get down here with you and preach with you. Because I fail, Michael. I fail. There's times we said, you know, I'm not the best example. I'm not even a good example. Terrible example. I fail miserably. Ladies and gentlemen, I read these scriptures and God encourages me and challenges me to keep going on for Him and do better than I've ever done for Him, for His cause. Look with me, if you will, please, in Exodus chapter 14. We just kind of skipped through Exodus 13 there. But if you will, look with me, please, in Exodus 14. Exodus 14:10 says this. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?" That ain't no example to set for our kids, is it? God doing all this good stuff, and here they are. Got a little contrary wind blowing against them. The enemies rose up, and they can see the enemy coming. And here they are complaining on God already. Been there, done that. You see, what I'm trying to tell you here, church, is that the devil never quits. Michael, he never quits. These little boys here are to the point now where all the plagues has done kicked in. God's done turned every drop of water into blood. He's done sent the frogs, all the pestilence, lice, all the sand, Rick. Every drop of sand and dirt in the whole land of Egypt became as lice. All the grasshoppers were so thick they couldn't even see whether it was daylight or whether it was dark. It was so covered. All these plagues, frogs up in their bed, everywhere. These people, man, I'm telling you, the hell's done fail. Broke all their fruit trees, destroyed all their crops. The grasshoppers come through, everything green that was left, the grasshoppers cleaned it out. Finally, they get down there and that death angel comes by and they start losing their babies. And they start losing their flocks. And the children of Israel went over to Pharaoh and said, "For God's sakes, Pharaoh, let them people go while we still got our life." Pharaoh said, "Okay." God said, "Hey, Moses, I'm going to harden his heart one more time." Church, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how much Bible you know. I don't care how much Bible you hear. You ain't never going to get away from the devil. He's never going to stop. He's never going to stop putting things in your mind. He'll never stop putting things in your path. He'll never stop giving you opportunities. He'll never stop tempting us. He'll never stop. I'm telling you, friend, God was bringing, you hear me? God was bringing them people out. The children of Israel had already received all the goods, the gold and all that stuff. Egyptians had given it to them. Here, y'all go. Take our land. Take our money, our gold. Everything. Go. Just get out. Yeah. And the devil said, no, you ain't getting out that easy. I'm going to get you. The Bible said they sit there and they begin to complain. You bring us out here to die, Moses? Moses said, stand still. Boy, I love that passage, don't y'all? Stand still. God said, Moses, lift up that rod. Boy, Moses lifted up that rod. That Red Sea parted. Rick Hollywood's got that thing so mucked and mired, people don't have a clue what that is. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Red Sea parting. The Bible said there was an east wind that blew. I know you watch that junk on Hollywood, and you can see them bunch of freaks running through there, and they'll have a Moby Dick will be swimming on that side, and Jaws will be swimming on that side, and the children of Israel is they're taking their carts, and they're having to push them through the mud and through the mire. It's muddy. Listen to what your Bible said. They crossed over on dry ground. Son, it was a dust trail. Do you hear me? They wasn't no slime spots. They wasn't no mud. They wasn't no muck. Their buggies didn't bog down. Friend, they went over and there was dust behind them people. God said, here, we're going to stand on the other side while the enemy's still pursuing you. The devil still ain't giving up. He's still pursuing you. Listen to me. They got over to the other side. God let them waters collapse. Bible says the Egyptians were to say to drown. They drowned. God drowned them. You say, now, preacher, help me, Jesus. You mean I don't have to face the devil no more? You answer that. Because I can promise you one thing. Listen, he's put enough junk in your mind in the land of Egypt, you'll deal with that the rest of your life. You got enough junk in your mind from the land of Egypt, he don't have to ever bother you again. He's already got enough. He's planted that seed in your mind. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about them people spent 40 years over there, Eric, in the wilderness. That ain't salvation. They spent 40 years. You know how many people God has begun to do things in their life, and God has convicted them, and God has started bringing them out of sin, and man, they was able to repent, and yet never years go by, and they never do get to God. They just dwell out there in that wilderness. Something's that's holding them back. Something's got them bound to the wilderness now. You know what I believe most of it was? I believe what they picked up out of Egypt.
You say, I don't believe that.
Really? When they got hungry, they went over there and said, would the God was back in Egypt. We had all them leaves and garlics. Man, we could eat fish, all that we want. That was a lie. They didn't get to do that. The devil done popped a lie up to them. Do you know what I'm trying to tell you, Miss Stephanie? We got to carry that past with us. There's things, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil sows in our mind. And I'm telling you, we blame things on it. He don't even have to bother us most of the time. It's stuff that we've picked up in our past that will haunt us for the rest of our entire life. Them people died out there in the wilderness. Listen, this is a beautiful congregation this morning. I'm not talking about a congregation. It's a church. They was over 2 million people. 2 million. They wasn't that many at the inauguration the other day. It was more than, it was twice that many. Huh? It's amazing. They said 1.8 showed up for Obama. God had them beat going across the Red Sea. I'm telling you, those fields were slam packed full of people, ladies and gentlemen. Over 2 million people crossing that Red Sea. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And they died out there in the wilderness. They died out there, Miss Stephanie, before they got a hold of the real thing. They sit out there in that wilderness, man, and they had to deal with that junk for the rest of their entire life.
These people that sits in church, God has dealt with them and dealt with them and dealt with them. And man,
they've been faithful and they went so far with God that they're still just hanging out in the wilderness. They never have really crossed over Jordan. They never have got into the promised land. They never have really got to enjoy the Spirit of God or the fruit of the Spirit. None of that kind of living. It's just a wilderness. It's a wilderness. And every time something happens, oh my God, they get to remembering how good it used to be when in all reality, it was never even good to start with. I've thought, Miss Hannah, 1,000 times, if it was so good, why in the name of God did I want out so bad? I want it out. I want it out. I want it out so bad. I was miserable. I was wretched. I want it out. God forbid that we die in the wilderness. You can be saved. Listen to me. You can be washed in the blood. And there's still going to be times that Satan tempts you to go back to your old way. Are you listening? You can be saved. And there's still going to be temptations from time to time to go back to the old way. There's still going to be time for your flesh just craves wretchedness and wickedness. Sure. And they probably ain't a day in my life, church, as the pastor of this church, they probably ain't let me look in you, God, you and I, Bob. There probably ain't a day in my life, Eric, that my flesh don't love sin. Just want it. Give me some. I mean, son, I can see something that fast and my flesh goes, wow. I can hear, I can walk in a store, man, and I can hear a good old George Jones song and my flesh will go, wow. The next thing you know, I'm wanting to be on YouTube, son. Oh, I can hear that on YouTube, my flesh says. I'm just being honest.
By the way, I don't know if anybody did waste their time.
Call it what you want to. I did watch the inaugural prayer yesterday. I did. I took time, Michael, to watch it. The little blind girl on there. They didn't show it. They showed it on YouTube. It was so good, I had to YouTube it. They just, you could just hear the voice. And I noticed Miss Trump, she was over there crying. She kept wiping her eyes. She's beautiful. She saw how great they are. I said, I don't care who you are or where you are. That's just a good song. Amen. I'm telling you, Mick Jagger can sing it. It's still a good song. He might ruin it, but it'd be a good song. Slick Jagger.
Zachary went over there and pulled that thing up on YouTube and had no clue. The camera zoomed in. It was a little old girl about that big, blind, deformed. She hit that thing. And when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it. I said, well, man, I'm not there. I'm shouting. Woo! I took off in that cathedral. God is good, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God. I'm telling you, my old flesh rears up and it wants sin, it loves sin, it craves sin. But I've got good news, thanks be unto God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And where sin did abound, grace, grace, grace did much more abound. Don't have to. I got to get out. Let's read these verses and be done. It's 12:18. Verse 13 says, and we'll go down to verse 26. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more ever, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I beheld, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them and will get me honor upon Pharaoh. You know, God doing that was all for the honor of God. God let them suckers drown to death for his honor. That don't fit American philosophy, church.
And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Let me take time out. Somebody can do the homework. Michael, you're good at this. Do you understand that not too many years ago, just a few years ago, the scientists have actually found that it ain't that little 2-inch body of water they talked about, they crossed over? I mean, you know, that is, you know, that, well, it wasn't up but a couple inches that they crossed over. And somebody said, well, that's great. That's even a bigger miracle that all the people drowned in that much water. The scientists said, well, the Red Sea was only that deep. And somebody said, well, that's amazing. All them people drowned to death in 4 inches of water. But you know what they found out? They have found it. They found the very place down there in the bottom of that Red Sea. And they've uncovered it. And they found gold chariot wheels and everything down there from Pharaoh's army. Not too long ago. So now all of a sudden scientists is agreeing with the Bible.
Whoa, glory to God.
I'm telling you, friend, the only way they can believe something is if they can go down there and put their finger. I'm telling you, faith the just shall live by. My Bible said it was so. That's why I don't give a flip they ever find anything in that Red Sea or not. I'm telling you what happened. They went over on dry ground and the Egyptians drowned to death for the glory of God. God said, I am going to receive honor for this. For what great things I've done and brought my people through. Well, I messed up. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I've got me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, listen, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face. Could somebody tell me what? We'll go on. And stood behind it. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Woo! And it was a cloud and darkness to them. The Egyptians, it was dark to them. But it gave light by night to these, to the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Listen, church, I'm done. The entire 1 hour message this morning comes down to that one verse. I've done all that talking, Michael, to say this one thing. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. What does God want? God wants me to go forward. Just go. Keep going. Keep on. Preach on. Keep on keeping on. Just keep going. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to get messed up. I'm going to try to finish this, but God never gave us anything to retrieve, Eric. No. No armor for us to retrieve. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen to me, saved and lost today. I believe nobody's here by mistake. There's saved people in this congregation, and I believe what you want to do is just keep pressing on. Amen. We're going to hit winter spells, Eric. There's going to be times where can't see God, hear God's will, God feel God, taste God, I guess, you know, all of your thoughts. You know what we want to do? Stay faithful. Don't back up. Don't retrieve. Don't start going back on God. We call it backsliding. You know what I think? I think there's people sitting in this congregation that are lost. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself in a rut. And before you know it, the devil will start putting thoughts in your mind. Lost man, saved man, it doesn't make a difference. He'll start putting thoughts in your mind. And if you're not careful, you'll start looking in the wrong direction. All you even have to do is just start looking. Start leaning. You start leaning, you start following. I believe God wants us to keep going. Just keep going. Press on. Press on. I say that to the lost man today because if God's ever got on your trail and set your heart out to seek after Him, I don't care what comes in your life, seek after God. Say, man, it's cold, it's dark, it's wintertime. I don't care. Just stay faithful. You say, preacher, what do you say? I've said it 1,000 times in here. Just keep doing what you know is right. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep seeking after God. Keep going to church. Keep doing the things that God said in His Bible for you to do. Everything that you know. Just stay after it. Won't be long, church. A light will break forth. God will honor your faithfulness. God will honor your faithfulness. Oh, Lord. You understand that this is not a handful of people, church. This is millions of people. When this took place, they began to sing, ladies and gentlemen, and rejoice in the Lord. When they seen all that God had done, then people stood over on the other side of the Red Sea, and God's people began to rejoice and sing unto the Lord. So, preacher, what are we supposed to do? Just rejoice in the Lord. Just stay with God. Don't go back on God. Don't let your Bible reading slip. Don't let your prayer closet get cobwebs in it. Just stay with God. Preacher, I can't even get anything out. Just read it anyway. God, I help you. Father, we thank you for this time. Pray, God, that you'd keep our minds fresh, that we come back and we conclude this simple thought. Lord, on what you give us, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in these people's lives. But, Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done in my life. Ever grateful, Lord, for what you've done. I pray, God, that you'd help this congregation, God, be mindful of what great things you've done for us. God, help us to keep in remembrance, dear Lord, the goodness of God, the blessings of God, the Word of God. And help us, Lord, to walk in your statutes. Help us, God. We love you and thank you. Thank you for everybody here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm sorry. Michael, will you pray for the food, please?
Hey, Lord, thank you for today, Lord. I ask you, Lord, bless the food we're about to eat.
Thank you, sir.